The founder of the group is Claire Chase, a flutist and executive director, and she received a grant while she was at Oberlin to do anything music-related that she wanted to. And she'd had a dream of putting together an ensemble, commissioning a new program of works, and presenting this program to an audience. And so on this shoestring budget, she did commission five new pieces and asked a bunch of people from the contemporary music ensemble there at Oberlin to join her in this concert, and they publicized it and they sold out the house, the auditorium. It was a huge success, and they were all inspired to continue this work, and that was the first concert of ICE. And for many years, it was a labor of love. Everybody held down other jobs, catering jobs, and all kinds of things to fund this while it got off its feet. And that was only 10 years ago. So it has had a kind of meteoric rise since then.
The idea of programming all brand new music in one concert is often too big a gambit for presenters. A lot of performers love new music, but they will just put a tiny bit into a program of more traditional sounding works. Mm-hmm. So to just go ahead and say, new music lovers, here, now, sit down and we'll enjoy it, seems pretty brave and bold, and it worked.
It did. And I think part of it has to do with the way ICE presents the work. It's we aren't just going through traditional concert channels. We're enlisting lots of people that are not traditionally classical music listeners to come hear our concerts, as well as classical music audiences. So we don't cater to either. We present music that we really, really feel passionately about. And that seems to communicate more than anything.
Something that really opened my eyes on your website, iceorg.org, was that in that span of time, just over 10 years, some 500 new pieces have been premiered. That's just extraordinary. I don't see how it's even possible.
One reason it's possible is, well, we're very busy, but the other reason is that the format of ICE is that we are a chamber orchestra with 33 members, but we don't usually all take the stage together. There's no piece that has exactly our instrumentation, so we may be a flute and bassoon duo one night, and we may be a chamber orchestra of one string on a part and winds and pairs the next day. I think you earlier used the metaphor of the Hydra. It's very much that. So we can do a lot of things and divide our forces.
One thing about successfully presenting contemporary music, half of it is, having a composer who knows what he's doing or she's doing and has conviction in his or her work. The other half is a convincing performance. Sometimes I've been to contemporary music concerts and thought, I don't know if the piece is good, but I'm believing this performance. You're not sure where one leaves off and the other takes over. So having well-performed new music, that's pretty critical too.
Absolutely. It's the kind of the dancer and the dance metaphor. Where does one leave off and the other begin? I can brag on my colleagues. They are fantastic musicians and not only specialists in contemporary music. Everyone in ICE also maintains their classical chops, for lack of a better word. So much of ICE's sound and our playing is rooted in hundreds of years of chamber music, which we still continue to play. The members of ICE continue to play this old music together and with other people, and that maintains, I think, a clarity in the performance of new works that have crazy extended techniques, but there's still a basis in the tradition.
Mm-hmm. Now, you as a percussionist, I can't always take part in
right.
this old music. It's more of a new field. I'd be curious to hear how you developed as a musician and also decided to begin composing.
Thanks for asking. I started on the violin, actually. When I was five, I started studying violin and continued that till I was about 14. But in the midst of that, I started playing percussion, and that's another long story. Basically, I wanted to play in the band, and no violins in the band, so I wanted to play French horn. My parents said, "Well, you're already playing violin, and that's hard. You should play something easy." And the other thing was that the drummers just got to leave their drums at school and carry drumsticks back home to practice. So the idea was that this was going to be easy and I wouldn't have to move stuff. Nothing could now be further from the truth. I'm always moving lots of stuff and I'm playing really hard music most of the time. My interest in percussion was kind of this compulsive tapping impulse that most percussionists have, finding new sounds everywhere. And studying percussion was a kind of a way of structuring that. And so as I got more into percussion, I just wanted to be organizing sounds more. And it was kind of an organic transition into composing also. It was not necessarily in a classical style. I was into new music pretty early through percussion, and ended up studying as a percussionist and composer as a double major in my undergrad. I really have seen percussion and new music and composing as just different sides of the same activity.
Well, I'd like to continue our discussion in a little bit about what kind of music you like to write and what we might hear tonight on the concert, but I'd like to take a break first to hear a recording of Ice. And if you don't mind telling us a little bit about this work by a composer I've heard of, her operas are performed at the Met and at Santa Fe. I'm just not sure how to say her name.
Kaija Saariaho is her name. She's a Finnish woman who has lived for many years in Paris. She's a fantastic composer, very strong voice, and big inspiration in my music as well. This is a quintet that features flute, and this is Claire Chase playing the flute in the recording. And it's like a mini concerto, and it actually is a reduction of a flute concerto that she wrote. And this is its chamber version called To Rest.
We're going to listen to this recording of Ice there in concert in one of its configurations tonight at 7:30 at Western Michigan University as part of the Bullock Performance Institute. Tickets available at the door. Check out the School of Music website, wmich.edu/music. Thank you. Nathan Davis, I did not know you could do that on flute, and I'm a flute player. It was just gorgeous, so evocative. Music of Sarajevo is her name, and that was Ice Ensemble in Performance. Ice Ensemble being a redundancy, standing for International Contemporary Ensemble. And ICE performs tonight with a local or Western Michigan University composer, Lisa Kuntz, tonight 7:30 in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. What was that low presence that you heard at the end of that with the flute fluttering so high?
That's a concert bass drum, a very, very quiet roll, a concert bass drum. Sarajevo takes the music to real extremes there. Very quiet, very high, and very low.
I like that you were talking about chamber music and the art of playing chamber music and bringing that to the pieces that you perform. And you picked out a perfect piece to demonstrate that. It required all the precision and intimacy, I think, of chamber music. Beautiful piece. Well, let's look at tonight's program. Just this work is an example of ICE, but not specifically what will be on tonight's program, which features some 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, about 8 pieces.
A bunch of pieces. Well, first of all, we're going to start the program with a piece that I wrote for our bassoonist, Rebecca Heller. Rebecca Heller is an amazing musician, and she is taking the bassoon in really exciting new directions. The piece that I wrote for her on Speaking 100 Names uses live electronics to create kind of a chorus of bassoons with her. Nothing pre-recorded, it's all live. And when I was writing the piece, I borrowed a bassoon from one of her students. And this is what I usually do when I'm writing a piece for an instrument that I don't play myself. I try to get one in my hands and carry it on the subway and see how people stare at you when you have a different case than the one you usually have. It's true, people look at you differently if you're carrying a guitar than if you're carrying like a cymbal bag or a bassoon in this case. And, you know, I learned how to put it together and how to make sounds on it. And what I discovered about the bassoon is that the hard thing is not making a sound. It's making the same sound twice. The natural predilection of the bassoon is to make multiphonics, to make these really rich, dense clusters of sound. And what a good bassoonist does is learn to tame that and make it play nice with the other instruments in the orchestra. So I wanted to kind of untame it a bit and use this metaphor of speaking 100 names to refer to one entity that's indescribable by one name. And a lot of religions have this aspect of chanting, or at least having different names for one divine being. And in Western music, we call a note a note. We call it a G sharp is a G sharp, but you know, there are an infinite number of G sharps actually. And the bassoon is really good at giving you a lot of different kinds of G sharps or any note. So that piece is an exploration of that. The other solo that Rebecca is playing is a beautiful piece by Marcos Balter, who ICE has worked with a lot. Marcos teaches at Columbia College in Chicago, and this piece uses a text by Gertrude Stein, and Rebecca plays a couple of small percussion instruments while she plays the piece. So it's really amazing. She's reciting a text, playing the bassoon, and playing woodblock and triangle in a kind of effortless, non-theatric presentation. So those are two works. They're so new that we don't have any recordings to share with you today, unfortunately. One of our plans for this program was to really present what we're doing right now. So it's so fresh. we can't play you recordings.
What is ICE Lab?
ICE Lab is our commissioning and presenting and education program rolled all into one. We are commissioning 6 composers per year. We're starting our 4th year of this right now, to write a substantial amount of work for ICE. Often it's an evening length work or a half concert or something like that. And the wonderful thing about this process, most of the time when a new work is commissioned, a composer and a group or an individual discuss it, plan the premiere and, some parameters, how long, how many people, real nuts and bolts. And then some time passes and a FedEx package arrives and like, woohoo, we got our piece. And you start learning the notes and then you meet the day before and get the composer's feedback and you play it. We want to turn that around and get the composer and the performers in the room from the very beginning. So there is a workshop period very early in the process where the composer comes in with some material, some ideas, some questions, and tries things out with the ensemble. And there's a real back and forth there, seeing what kind of material works, how the players respond to that material. Often we do some sort of a workshop showing of where things are at the end of the first week. And then the composer goes away and really refines the piece into whatever it's going to become. And then we have another week together in which we rehearse the piece, which now exists, and hammer it into shape for the performance. And we're doing these premieres in New York or Chicago and a bunch of other places, so the work can have a life.
Lisa Kunz is going to be working with you in this capacity, is that right?
Yes, absolutely.
And she's writing a big work, like an evening-long piece.
Major piece. This is a work for 7 musicians from ICE and dancers. There are 2 choreographer dancers plus 3 additional dancers. And so a lot of people on stage. The total work is about an hour. This is a piece that we workshopped more than a year ago. We all 12 of us, 13 of us actually, were working together at the Baryshnikov Arts Center for a week, trying out ideas. It was a real sandbox time of seeing how these things could work together. And the goal, as I understand it, the goal that Lisa Kunz and the choreographers had was not to just add choreography to dance or add dance to music or vice versa, but to be generating these ideas together from the very beginning. So we did a workshop, and then we were going to premiere the entire work last November in New York, but that was the week that Hurricane Sandy hit us. So we lost half a week of rehearsal, and we were able to get together at the end of the week and do some work and show some public process, but we weren't able to actually do the premieres at that point. So tonight's performance is going to be a quartet of a movement that's excerpted from the whole work. Quartet for flute, bassoon, guitar, and percussion. No dance, though there is a little bit of choreography among the musicians. And this will be the first public performance of any of the piece, a real premiere. And then we'll do the full work this summer in June, upstate.
I worry that somehow contemporary music is really heading toward the ephemeral, and with so much maybe chance and improvisation involved? That if you can't write it down, how does Ensemble 20 years from now know how to play it?
That's a really good question. I think for my work, I'm still generally using there are notes on paper, there are pitches and there are rhythms, but you know, as you point out, there are so many parameters in music that are being explored now that are often more important than pitch or rhythm, that our notation systems only partially communicate what's needed. So, you know, you can add more text. Lisa uses a lot of written instructions in her music, and time brackets and things rather than measured, metered notes. And honestly, I think that we're going to be relying more on recordings and video and other documentation for communicating to other performers how to play these works, especially pieces that are written with specific individuals in mind. And this has been going on. It's been going on forever, but I think about all the cello pieces that were written for Rostropovich, close collaborations with many of the major composers of the 20th century. And certainly all the pieces that I've written for ICE members, their sounds and their techniques are in the pieces. And when someone else takes on a piece, they often refer to the recordings and the videos that we've made of them with the people it's written for. And it doesn't mean that they should imitate that. It's just part of the score. There is still interpretation. There's still the role of every new performer that comes along, but there's just more information than the paper will hold.
And that's why a concert, a live concert, is completely unique, especially in this field, and why the chance to see players of your caliber and adventuresomeness might be worth going out for tonight at 7:30 at Western Michigan University. That's in the Dalton Center Recital Hall, and it is part of the new Sounds Festival at Western Michigan University. This is something the School of Music and David Coulson has thoroughly gotten behind and embraced. And folks, if you're waiting for all the new sounds to go away, they're not going to. You may as well try one out. Tonight is a fantastic looking concert. There are a couple of pieces that, you know, where I know these composers from the 20th century, great, great composers like George Crumb and Toro Takemitsu, whose music actually might sound kind of pretty next to these newer works. I like the look of the program as well.
Thank you. We're excited about it. The Takemitsu is a gorgeous piece.
It is. It is. And it is the flute player that we just heard. That will be, what was her name again?
Claire Chase, we just heard. Eric Lamb is the flutist that's playing with us tonight.
Okay, Eric Lamb. I saw him on your website too, iceorg.org, which will get you excited about new music if you click on it. It's sounds like the whole concept of this ensemble is different and new and all about being ready to perform and create new music at the drop of a hat. Shall we take a break and listen to one of your pieces here? And by the way, I'm speaking to Nathan Davis, if you've just tuned in, percussionist and composer. Now, the percussionists I've worked with are more attuned to time and precision. And some of us melody players really don't care whether the beat lands on the ahead or in the middle or behind the beat. But that's something you can get very, very particular about, I would think. Do you ask this of your performers?
I do. I think that my use of rhythm is very essential. I tend to organize time structures with specific rhythm, and almost a Tala-like patterns in a lot of my pieces. But my rhythms are not that complex. I mean, I certainly play music that has very, very complex surface rhythms. I prefer to have a bit more freedom for the performer of the surface rhythm and have a very clear underpinning. One piece that we could play now is a piece that I wrote for Ice called The Bright and Hollow Sky. It's a really long piece, so I don't think we'll get through that much of it. But this is a quintet for flute, and you'll hear Eric Lamb on this. Flute, clarinets, guitar, and this is Dan LaPelle playing guitar, who you'll hear tonight, and trumpet and percussion. This piece was written for Ice, it was commissioned for Ice, it's built on a kind of Tala-like rhythm and gong cycles. I'm inspired, among other things, by Balinese gamelan music. And while I don't think this sounds like gamelan music, there is that sense of procession and that sense of demarcated time going on. And there's a clear beat.
Nathan Davis. That's music of Nathan Davis, percussionist and composer for Ice, and they're performing tonight at 7:30. And Nathan, I wish you hadn't said the word gamelan, or my brain is obsessed now with this imagery of the jungle, frankly. It could be the Amazon, I suppose, but I'm full of... Rudyard Kipling in the Jungle Book right now. There's mysterious sounds emanating from the jungle and the presence and atmosphere of both, beauty and a little danger, perhaps. This is a major work, 20 minutes long or so, and mm-hmm. you called it Bright and Hollow Sky. Mm-hmm. Is that from poetry of some kind?
Of some kind. It's actually a line from the Iggy Pop song, The Passenger.
Iggy Pop, Detroit.
Iggy Pop. Yes, right. it was a line that has stuck with me. Really, really gorgeous image, and the piece doesn't take anything from that from Iggy Pop other than that line. I'm not trying to respond to the to his song or to his work in any other way. I just love the lyric, so have borrowed it for the title.
It's a great image. You're right, and I'm not even familiar with the song, so I wouldn't know that. Sounds like poetry to me.
Yeah.
Well, let's get your last thoughts and a roundup of tonight's program from Ice, which starts at 7:30.
Well, we're going to have a solo from by Mario Davidovsky for solo classical guitar and tape. Davidovsky was a real pioneer in using electronic sounds together with live musicians, and it's really seamless integration. He uses computer sounds to kind of extend the guitar And this is a classic work, Synchronisms Number 10, that Dan LaPelle will play. And Dan has worked on it with the composer. You'll never hear it played better. It's fantastic. Dan and I will be playing a piece by Ignacio Bacalibera for guitar and percussion. And this is a kind of a graphic score, so it's a very clearly guided improvisation. There are notes on paper, and there are rhythms, and there are timelines, and a lot of how we put it together is up to us. So we'll be doing that, and of course Lisa Kuhn's work for the quartet. Eric Lamb will be playing a piece by Lunsky for solo bass flute.
Wait a minute, bass flute? I'm not sure I've really seen one.
it's a big piece of plumbing.
Does it rest somehow on the floor, or does he support the whole thing with
his supports
arms?
It is still sideways, I guess. It's just it's heavy, it bends. So there's it goes to the left before it makes a U-turn and goes back to the right. But it's an amazing instrument, and a very unusual instrument. So I think people will love that.
Your thoughts on electronics? I noticed that sound processing and electronics, they have a long and revered tradition in contemporary music. But I love the fact that, you know, in the last 10 years or so, they've become, I think seamless is a good word, integration. Whereas I do remember concerts where the performer had to press play on a tape player back in the 80s. But now it's integrated.
It's become a lot easier for performers to approach electronic music. I mean, it's become easier for everyone to approach computers. You know, with laptops, it's easy to put a laptop on stage and to activate things oneself, and you know, with pedals and other things, you can make the technology less visible. And you can, as a performer, it's more interesting to concentrate on your instrument than it is the computer screen. And it's, as an audience member, it's more interesting to watch somebody play their instrument than it is to watch them activate things on a computer. I'm performing a piece of mine tonight, which kind of confounds all these conventions or expectations. It's called Crawl Space, and it's for amplified laptop. And it's actually exploring the sounds that the laptop itself makes acoustically and electromagnetically. I use a certain kind of mic that picks up all the tiny glitches of the CPU and of the monitor and of the internal hard drive of the optical CD drive. All these have pretty amazing sounds, and so I have a piece that amplifies these and shapes them into a piece.
You're a very lucky man. to be playing with this amount of sound on the edge of tomorrow, it's just fantastic.
Well, thank you, I'm incredibly lucky to be doing it with my colleagues in ICE.
Well, you can hear this performance tonight at 7:30 at Western Michigan University. Tickets available at the door, and there will be, as usual, at 7 p.m. a pre-concert, a discussion with members of the ensemble to learn even more about what you will hear. It's optional, but music starts at 7:30. And Nathan, what a fun hour this has been. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.